This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Doesn't that music just get you going? We have all the good vibes on a Why Not Wednesday. Welcome in to the Lombardi Line. As always, Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you here on VSiN and DraftKings Network. And I say Why Not Wednesday because later on in the hour, we're going to take a look at a few different long shot type propositions and see if they make you want to torque your head over to the side and say why not. We've also got Lombardi's list ranking his top five and bottom five teams in the NFL right now based on his power rating numbers and, of course, some big news and notes around the National Football League. Michael, which is where we will start with the New York Jets. Yesterday, we got the update that they are bringing in Trevor Siemian to the practice squad as a backup for Zach Wilson, joining Wilson and Tim Boyle in that room. We've also heard from Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee that the offense needs to stop pointing fingers. Rich Cimini of ESPN said that there is serious tension in that locker room right now with the way that Robert Saleh has handled everything discussing Zach Wilson. What's your biggest takeaway been from this entire saga out there in New York this week?
Well, you know, they wanted to basically redshirt Zach Wilson for the year. Feel like a year around Aaron Rodgers could rehabilitate him, show him what it takes to be a pro, and salvage the second overall pick in the draft. And on paper, that makes sense, right? You can't argue with that. You got an investment in this player. You saw something in him coming out in the draft. You thought, okay, let's draft him second. But it hasn't worked out. Now, when the reins got turned over to him, and basically, you know, we're looking at 11 quarters of football, more than that. Really, he played almost the whole game against Buffalo. It hasn't worked. We've started 25 games. We can't throw the ball with any accuracy and completion. We don't average over 200 yards in a passing game. We're now on our second coordinator, where he's been able to, he really doesn't excel in this offense. And you're going to lose the team. Mm-hmm. Because every time Robert Saleh stands in front of his team and defends Zach Wilson, the players in the back of the room snicker. They laugh. And it's causing a defense, which we all thought, or at least a lot of in the national media thought, it was going to be an elite defense. They were comparing it to the Ravens of 2000. They're far from that. And their defense hasn't played well. And so it's affecting this whole team. And if you're Robert Saleh, the leader of this team, you've got to make a change. You've got to find an answer somewhere. And the answer isn't we're going to make Zach play better, because that's been 2 weeks now and he's played worse. He's gone from bad to worse. So it makes sense considering that Siemian started 35 games. You know, he's not great. He's averaged over 200 yards passing a game, right? He can move in the pocket a little bit. He's not like going to stand back there. Look, he started a bunch of games last year. He started, what, five games last year for the Saints? He had 10 touchdowns, three interceptions. So at least he can get the ball to the receivers and see if somebody else can help out the offense.
I think what you referenced a couple of times there, the leadership piece is what's most significant in my mind right now, because when you had Aaron Rodgers in there, that's an element that he brings that to this young team, and we're talking young all over the place, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, even on the defensive side of the ball, Sauce Gardner, and these talented pieces who are young and are craving somebody to really take the reins and take them on the straight and narrow, because their head coach in Robert Saleh largely hasn't done that. And I've liked Robert Saleh in the past. You know, I'm a 49ers fan, loved what he was able to do with that defense in San Francisco. But his role as a head coach has been a whole lot of, I'm a fan of Aaron Rodgers and this has been great, and not necessarily leading his team in the direction that it needs to and gaining trust with that group. And you talk about Zach Wilson with the 25 games in his career, 24 starts. And then we go to the 49ers, who did move on from Trey Lance in less time than that. The Cardinals and Dolphins, who moved on from Josh Rosen in less times than that. You look at Jamarcus Russell. These it's okay to say this didn't work out and move on from a guy that's not benefiting you in any way.
Yeah, no question. And you've seen enough. Let's just take one example.
Even Joe Namath has seen enough.
I think we all I know. But in fact, I mean, like, I don't think Namath really is in tune to what's going on in the league, but it's so obvious even he's seen enough. Okay, so let's just take one specific stat. Bad balls, bad throws, okay? Siemian in his 30 career starts averages, he's had 38 bad throws, according to the stats. So that's 3.2% of the throws he makes are bad. Zach Wilson, in his 24 starts, has 156 bad throws. 23.6% of the time when he's throwing it, they're bad. 70% of the time, it's not even on target. So there's no comparison. I mean, like, you can't do this. You can't, and that's so obvious. Like, you can't do this. Mm-hmm. He can't make a play for you. So what do? You have to make a, you have to be able to make a chance.
They're just, he's a guy that he doesn't play with any feel. The vision's not there. You talk about the pieces that he misses. He looks very deer in the headlights in a lot of areas. And I feel like because he's made at least some wow plays or flashes in certain instances, that's what Robert Saleh is kind of holding on to, is that, like, we've seen moments from him. But what's that phrase that you always say about getting people fired?
I mean, you know, a potential is going to get you fired.
Yeah, potential will get you fired.
Flashes will get you fired. You know, I mean, look, here's the reality. 5 years from now, Netflix will come out with a documentary. The Zach Wilson, I never really liked football documentary. I mean, book it. Write it down right now. It's coming out. It's going to be right underneath your top picks for the month. 5 years from now, next October. You know, it's going to be right there. Zach Wilson, now I never liked football. I mean, this is what it shows you. I mean, I don't think a kid really loves football. He's not passionate about it. Like, he never even shows you any emotion that he's talented. He's cursed with talents. And that happens. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. Sometimes God gave you so much talent, you play football. But that documentary's coming. 5 years from now, Zach Wilson, why I hated football, why I hated playing at the Jets. We're going to get it. It's coming. We're going to get it. Why not? You know it's coming, Stormy.
And it doesn't help. It's not going to make you love football either, playing in that market and knowing all of the eyeballs that are saying the things that they're saying about you. And it just hasn't worked out. And I think that's the thick and thin of it. And you just got to move on from this guy. You bring in Trevor Siemian. I wonder how short the leash is going to be this week on Sunday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs, where we have seen that number continue to move up. It was 9 when we were live on the air yesterday. Kansas City now a 10-point favorite on the road at MetLife Stadium. And then moving forward, is this the last we've heard about quarterbacks being brought into that room? I would think, and I would hope not. We do have some other updates.
Here's what I would add to that. If I'm Joe Douglas, and I look at that offensive line, and I know I'm bringing Siemian in, I better have another guy ready to go, because Siemian will get hurt too. Because here's what I don't want to do. Here's what I do not want to do. I do not want to go to Siemian, okay, and then have to go back to Zach because Siemian gets hurt. Mm. That's what I don't want to do. Now, if he don't want to cut Zach, that's fine. Make him the three. But if you're going to Siemian, and this is the conversation I would have in the building, if we're going to Siemian, which we should do, we need a backup that we could put in the game. Because we can't go back to, there's no going back to Zach. There's no going back to him. And if you don't do that, you really don't understand football. Because that locker room is, the minute he comes jogging back on the field, when if Siemian gets hurt, stubs a toe, has a bad cough, whatever the reason, the team's just going to say, no, we're done.
Well, and it's already a guy whose confidence is shot. But at the same point, like, what do you do with Zach Wilson? Do you just keep him on the roster? Do you consider who would want to trade for him at this point?
Maybe
I don't know.
Treat him like he got hurt. Keep him on the roster. You know, you're going to pay him anyway. He's got guaranteed money. And then this offseason, maybe somebody out there that thought he was great in the draft will take him for a seventh if. Or you'll cut him. But the one thing I would not do, and I don't think they're second order thinking this, the one thing I would not do is sign Siemian and not sign somebody else too. Because once we go to Siemian, we can't go back to Wilson.
Yep.
And I've seen this happen too many times. You bring a veteran guy in who's 31, who's not a big man to begin with. He's going to get hit behind that line. He is going to get hit. And once he gets hit, if he gets hurt, it's just human nature. I don't wish it on Siemian at all. But once he gets hurt, he's then going to leave. And then if Wilson comes back in, it won't be cheers. Fireman Ed will be leading the recitals for booze.
It's been a rough go to start, but you're absolutely right. And that offensive line was something that we we said every time that we were hyping up the Aaron Rodgers addition to this group and what he could mean and the impact he could have, the number one thing that you say on the flip side of that is, well, the offensive line is still going to be a massive concern, and it has been, and it will be moving forward here. A couple quick quarterback updates for anybody else who might have missed it early on. Bryce Young, quarterback for the Panthers, will be back practicing today after missing last week's game with an ankle injury. Anthony Richardson back practicing out of concussion protocol as well for the Colts. Same thing for Jaylen Waddle. We were joking earlier, as if Miami's offense wasn't good enough already. Now they're getting another weapon back this week with Jaylen Waddle. Saquon Barkley is day to day. Jimmy Garoppolo remains in the concussion protocol. And we talked about Jake Luton being signed from the Panthers practice squad in New Orleans with Derek Carr dealing with the sprained AC joint. Jameis Winston will still be the starting quarterback as of right now while we await to find out more about Derek Carr. Which quarterback injury or update is the most impactful to you this week, Michael?
Well, yeah, I think this Richardson one is, you know, he's going to come back in, and now, you know, the Rams have to kind of alter their game plan a little bit. Raheem Morris is, you know, you want the quick rhythm throws when you're going against Gardner Minshew. When Richardson comes back in, you're fully in the six-back attack. And I think that one, Bryce Young, you know, I mean, I think this is going to be a hard game for Carolina because Carolina, you know, they're just not ready to play right now offensively. Their offensive line is going to get him hurt again, and I would worry about that.
And it doesn't help when you're not running the football. How many times did Andy Dalton throw last week?
50? Oh, my God.
That's a whole nother issue for another day. I have a feeling, though, that the Carolina Panthers might make your bottom five. We've got Lombardi's list, the best and worst of the NFL next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com and check out our current betting splits data. If you want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just action for today, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN is here to make you a more informed bettor year-round. You can check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. And here on the Lombardi Line, it's time for an update on Lombardi's list. We're going to go through Michael's top five and bottom five teams in his updated power rankings based exclusively on the numbers, Michael. And so we just finished a conversation about the Jets. We talked a little bit about the Carolina Panthers as well. Feels natural to start from the bottom here with your bottom five teams who you have updated as the Bears as the bottom of the barrel, followed by Carolina, the Broncos, the Jets, and Texans. Take us through it.
Well, I mean, when I write up my numbers, everything is predicated on what I believe are the key indicators that go towards winning. And we can only go to 32 because that's all the categories, that's all the teams there are. And so some teams, you know, are less. That's why when the point spreads get really wider, it's difficult for me to handicap because the only go is low. But Chicago is by far, I mean, the next closest team to Chicago, when you look at that, the Panthers, there is a there's almost a 50-point differential, which is really rare. I mean, they're bad in almost every single category. It's really shocking when you do it, when you go through it and you look at all the things that matter, whether it's sack percentage, whether it's red zone attempts. Because red zone production, it really doesn't tell you anything because if you don't get down there, what is that? That means you're not moving the football, right? So, you know, you got to get there to be able to have an attempt. So go through all that. And then obviously the Texans moved up, but their defense still is not quite where it needs to be in terms of numerical grades. The Broncos moved way down. The Jets moved way down because when their numbers just come in, they're offensively, the Broncos are understandable. When you give up 700 points, your numbers are going to gyrate in a
700, 700.
700 yards, I meant. I'm sorry, not 700 good. Points. 70 points, 700 yards. They had the sevens down cold.
Yep.
And then, you know, and then, like I said, the Texans have improved. They're up to 28. So I think I think the list is there is a difference between 32 to 28. and there isn't that much of a difference between 28 and 27, so which is good news, right? That's the good news if you're the Texans. You're slowly moving your way back up the ladder.
And the Giants were a team, meanwhile, that moves out of your bottom five despite an 18-point loss in San Francisco, where they were outgained in total yards 441 to 150. So I think that says a lot to me that they somehow improved on your list despite that type of a loss. And the Texans, who won their game, are moving up, but not enough to be better than the Giants. I wonder what was kind of the distinguisher between those two teams.
Well, the difference between the Giants and New York, Houston and the Giants are 1 point.
Okay, so right there,
I could have easily put the Giants, you know, but yep. when I sort it out, it comes out, you know, I let the Excel spreadsheet sort it. I don't play around with it and let it come out that way, which then allows me, because that line, it then allows me to see the line as it relates to who they're playing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and some of these lines are really tight, and some of them there's a little bit of a margin based on the point spread.
So for you, when you look at this Bears-Broncos game coming up this week, both teams 0-3 straight mm-hmm. up and against the number playing each other, but the Broncos are a road favorite out there at Soldier Field. These are two teams that are your bottom three in the entire National Football League. Does that make it a stay away for you, or do you feel like it is truly advantage Broncos?
Well, I have the Broncos should be a 5.3-point favorite based on even what they're bad as their numbers are.
Wow.
And the line's 3. So now in my number, I don't equate for home field. I think it's already built into the layer. Mm-hmm. So if you took away 2 points for Soldier Field, then my number would match up to the number that's on the board. But I don't think that's really relevant. I think there'll be more boos in Chicago than it will be loud cheers. But look, I mean, Denver's embarrassed. Denver can move the football. I mean, Denver did move the ball. I never saw an effort like that on defense. In fact, I had one GM, we were talking today about it. Like, I've never seen that kind of horrible play by a team that lasted 60 minutes as well, like it did. I mean, it's embarrassing to everybody in the organization. I mean, they can't really relate to it. They can't handle this. I mean, it's just too bad. They got to come out and play a lot better.
Yeah, the defense was abysmal. I can't imagine being one of those guys on the flight back all the way from Miami to Denver. That's a long road, mm-hmm. and it must have been an ugly, uncomfortable flight.
I mean, if that would have been with me and the Raiders, I don't know if anybody would have been allowed on that flight except for Mr. Davis and his family. I think that would have been able to let everybody there.
Home. Get your own way home.
That would have been a bad one. Ooh, man.
Yeah. I believe it. Okay,
Southwest Airlines. Here you go. Buy your own ticket.
So bad. Pick your own seat. Stuck in a middle seat. 300-pound offensive lineman. It was that kind of day. Let's go from worst to best here in your top five in the National Football League, because I do think this is an interesting conversation topic. You still have the Dallas Cowboys ranked as your top team yep. at this point for the third straight week, despite being upset by the Arizona Cardinals. Kansas City is up from 4-2 after obviously embarrassing the Bears that they did this past weekend. Bills up from 4. San Francisco, despite another win and being one of the three remaining undefeated teams, gets bumped down to 4. And Miami has cracked the top 5 for the first time this season in your rankings, but only number 5, despite putting up 70 points.
Well, look, my numbers are not based on who won last week. You know, that's where everybody else does their power rankings. And if you like that, that's where you're going to get a mistake in the betting world. Because if you're reacting to a win, you know, and you move a team up, what was the win? How did they win? How did they play? The difference between Dallas and San Francisco on my rankings are 12 points. 12
points. Really?
So, you could have made San Francisco one. You know, if I would have just said, okay, based on last week, who should I make one? I'll make San Francisco one. I'll make Kansas City two. I'll make Buffalo three. And I'll make Dallas four. I just went with the numbers. I just put them out the numbers. I don't care who ridicules it. They're not the best team in football. They lost to Arizona. Their numbers say they're good. And they're slightly ahead of the San Francisco 49ers, who are in fourth place, and they're only 12 points behind them. So if they played against one another, the line would be pretty much what the line would be. It'd probably be a 2-point line in one direction, depending on where they played. Miami's a little bit outside of this. Cleveland's a little bit outside of this. Baltimore. You say, well, where's Philly? Where's Philly? Philly's numbers have not been good. is even though they're 3-0, Nick Sirianni's admitted their head coach, they haven't played their best football. Mm-hmm. And that shows up in the numbers. And these numbers are not about, well, you know, they're blowing people out so people are getting junkyards. No, no, no. That's not what the numbers tell you. So, you know, this is why you have to objectively come up with your own numbers and not base it off of win-loss record and what the perception is out there in the media. Because the media every week are going to change. I mean, 1 week Colorado is going to beat Oregon by 20. The next week they're going to lose. You know, it's like you can't go by that. You have to take subjectivity out of it.
And to your point about Dallas still being ranked number one, we talked about it yesterday about how maybe that was kind of the punch in the mouth wake up call that a team like that needs. They had a lot of penalties. They struggled in the red zone. A lot of things that you didn't expect to see from a Dallas Cowboys team that maybe has to do with overlooking an opponent like Arizona because of the way that that team has talked about. So I think that's that they're still number one.
I just got a wow here. Caesar just put it in here. We have a big announcement.
We do?
Damon Lillard traded to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow. Wow.
Just saw it. I mean, that's got to steal the thunder, right? I mean, I know we only have a minute and a half left to go, but I don't know what. We have to figure out who he got traded for. But there was some talk. There was a lot of uncertainty about whether Giannis was going to be able to re-up and stay there. Obviously, this trade is reflective of that. So much for James Harden getting traded for Lillard. Yeah, they laughed at that.
Wow. Yes. So
You better get your Bucks money in. If you want to bet the Bucks now, you better get it in. That number's going to shoot way down. With Lillard, I don't know what they gave up. So I'm talking without really knowing the full details. We'll see it on Twitter here. But they were never mentioned in the conversation, were they?
No. And I'm slow to pulling up my odds boards right now, but the Bucks I see plus 475 atop the odds board right now to win the NBA championship. So I don't know. I haven't been keeping an eye on NBA odds boards this offseason.
It was part of a three. Yeah, here's what it's a three-team deal with Drew Holiday, DeAndre Ayton, and Kamara, and an unprotected Milwaukee first rounder, an unprotected Milwaukee swaps of 28 and 20 and 30 to the Blazers. Phoenix gets Yusuf Nurkic back, Grayson Allen, Nesar Little, and Keon Johnson.
Okay, so Portland trading Damian Lillard to the Milwaukee Bucks, part of a three-team trade. They're a plus 475 favorite to win an NBA championship. Sad day for the Miami Heat, who certainly were eyeing to get Dame in their pocket. We'll react to this a little bit more when we come back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Colliding, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a subscription contest going on between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win. Up for grabs is a $1,000 voucher here at Circa Sportsbook to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. So to sweeten the deal for you, we'll let you save 40% when you sign up with our football season special using the promo code Lombardi. Bragging rights and a $1,000 futures ticket is on the line. Make this football season your best ever, and please help us do the same. Save 40% off your football season special today when you use that promo code Lombardi. Lombardi. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Promo code Lombardi. If you are just joining us, I know this is a football program, but we have massive breaking news in the NBA that Damian Lillard is going to the Milwaukee Bucks, part of a three-team trade with the Blazers and Suns. And Jimmy Buckets and the Miami faithful are all crying, Michael. Miami was a $3 favorite to land Damian Lillard. That ends up not being what plays out. Milwaukee, a 30-1 shot. They were 10th on the odds board at DraftKings to get Damian Lillard. And what a boost that's going to be to an already really solid team, and keeps your star player in Giannis Antetokounmpo very happy.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, I think this was a move that we said they were going to be patient, right? They said they were going to be patient. The Trailblazers did. Joe Cronin, the general manager, said he was not going to rush. It was on his timetable. It wasn't on Lillard's. He wasn't looking at Lillard's list. Lillard didn't have a no trade clause in his contract. He was going to do what was in best interest, which is his job, in spite of what they tell you on Twitter, which is his job to do. was to get the biggest haul he could get back. And now he's going to take Drew Holiday, who's a tremendous asset and a tremendous point guard, and flip into him into more assets because he's trying to build a young team around some of his young players. So there was a rumor out there yesterday that the Toronto Raptors were involved in this. And then I heard that, you know, it was getting close, but clearly it got done. And credit Cronin for being able to wait, hang in there. Milwaukee pushed their chips to the middle of the table, clearly. Got a great player, gave up a lot to get him. Gave up a lot of their bench, too. But I don't think it's going to affect them. And look, we know the Suns have been trying to get rid of Ayton since they signed him to that contract. Mm-hmm. They took a bad contract back in Yursik, but at least they got rid of the Ayton contract. They bought a little bit more time. And they get Keon Johnson in the deal as well. So, I mean, it was exactly what Cronin said he was going to do. He was going to wait. Now, how this affects the win-loss column, I don't know what it will do for Portland, but certainly it puts Milwaukee. They keep their big three, and Lillard, as it relates to Holiday, is probably an upgrade.
Yeah, so here's that full breakdown real quickly. The Bucks get Dame. Blazers have Holiday, DeAndre Ayton, Tamani Kamara, and a 2029 first-round Bucks pick and pick swap. And the Suns get Yusuf Nurkic, Nasir Little, Keon Johnson, and Grayson Allen. So that's the full summary of the three-team trade that sends Dame Lillard to the Milwaukee Bucks, who are now the favorite to win an NBA title. And we keep seeing more money come in on Milwaukee. Just moments ago, when we first heard the news, they were around 5-1 plus 475. Already that light continuing to flash plus 425. As far as the odds go for which team would ultimately have Damian Lillard play his next minutes, we saw the Milwaukee Bucks really low down that list as well. So we'll pull it back up for you. I saw as high as $3 favorite for the Miami Heat to land him, minus 250 as of yesterday, followed by the Blazers, Raptors, Clippers, 76ers, and Celtics. So Milwaukee, largely a team that wasn't on the radar. What kind of a surprise is this to you that of all teams, it's the Milwaukee Bucks?
Well, look, you know, the one thing we know, this proves that nobody knows. It's like the Soprano episode. Right. Nobody knows nothing, right? Like, nobody knows. Yeah. Everybody guesses. Oh, he's going to Miami. No, Cronin said he was going to take the best deal. I find it interesting. John Goulet just texted me. I knew this, too. I just saw it. Dame's first game will be against the 76ers.
There we go.
That line will probably be 8. Take the Bucks. Take the Bucks.
Michael.
Here's my tip of the day. Take the Bucks in that game. Anyway, so, yeah. Look, I think to me, the guy made it clear he was not trading Lillard to accommodate him. He was going to do what's in the best interest of his team. And he did that, or at least he thinks he did that. He took the best deal out there. Now, who fell up short? I don't know. Does Drew Holiday go to Miami? I mean, I would think Riley would go off the Drew Holiday. Give him the player that they were hoping Kyle Lowry would have been, that point guard to let Butler kind of play off of it. Guy can score, too. I mean, that's not like a bad play for Miami, especially he fits their culture perfectly. I could see that happening.
So now in your mind, what does this mean for Miami? Who, I mean, like, yes, they made that push this past postseason. There were a lot of questions about what next piece they could bring in. And, you know, they were really, really hoping that Damian Lillard would be that piece. We saw Jimmy Buckets on Instagram posting the Dame Dalla music videos and the hope and potential of their friendship and reuniting and uniting in Miami. Where does that leave this team in your mind?
I think Miami's going to be the next player for Drew Holiday. I think that's where they're going because they could make a deal to get him from Portland. Maybe that Portland would now take Tyler Hero as a player. You know, it's probably a little bit better of a deal now. The deal that they were offering for Lillard, maybe they have to rearrange it. I mean, look, Drew Holiday's a good player. He's a really good player. And he's a good defensive player. He's a good, I mean, he can get to the bucket. He can shoot. He can score. He'll help some team that can contend. There's no question. And when Miami signed Lowry, they were hoping to get that player in the point guard. And Lowry really hasn't fit into their system. He played better in the playoffs when he had an opportunity to play more minutes, but he wasn't anywhere near what they're paying him. And so I think they'll be after Lillard. I'm sure there'll be other, after Holiday, there'll be other teams will be after him as well.
Miami currently 22-1 on the odds board for an NBA title at this point. Your top six teams as it stands right now, Milwaukee, your favorite ever so slightly now over the Denver Nuggets, who sit there at plus 475, the Boston Celtics 5-1, the Phoenix Suns, who are, of course, a part of this three-team trade at plus 650, Lakers 12-1, and Golden State Warriors 13-1. If you had to pick a team right now where things sit, Michael, who you like?
Well, I like the Bucks. I mean, you know, with Giannis, if he stays healthy, you got to like them. You got to like, I mean, they have Middleton's back healthy. They've got tremendous star power, right? I mean, Lillard's a great player and he plays within the framework of the team. He doesn't try to be the guy, but he can be the guy if he wants to. You got to like the Bucks. I mean, I'd be surprised if that number stays at 475. I think it's going to go lower. These other teams like the Heat, the Lakers, I mean, I think they're just going to have a hard time competing because they don't have any more assets to trade. And there's the Sixers at 15-1. That's a St. Jude's play, by the way. Just put the picture of St. Jude's right next to that, right there.
You don't like the 15-1 to win the title? You don't like the plus 650 in the East? Just no interest?
That should be 50-1, Stormy. Come on, please. That has no chance of happening.
I love that you instantly, all, though, were like, okay, his first game is going to be against the 76ers. All right, chalk it up to an L. What's that spread going to be, 100?
It's an L. Take it right now. In fact, you know, I mean, look, there's some of those teams that don't have a chance to win a title. I mean, to beat the Nuggets, to beat the Celtics. But first of all, to get out of the division, they can't. Nobody's seen. I don't even know what kind of condition Harden's in. I asked that to Bill Simmons yesterday. Has anybody seen a picture of him?
He's been MIA, Michael. Nobody wants to. He's playing under the radar. You know, it's fine. He's going to come back in perfect shape. Him and Embiid, they're going to be in amazing shape. You already know.
Oh. Yeah, right.
What are your thoughts on Embiid, though, going into this season, too? Do you think that things will finally get on track to where he thinks and expects they will?
I think if things aren't going smoothly by Christmas, he'll want to get traded. I think if this is a rocky road, he'll get traded. He'll want to get traded.
It doesn't seem like you feel like there's a lot of endearing qualities about the 76ers team, Michael, which stinks because I know that you try to be a fan. It's not what ends up coming out of your mouth, but you try.
I'm realistic. See, I'm the realistic fan. Most of the people that attack me when I say something bad about their team, they don't want to be realistic. You know, there's a difference. I'm not a fanboy. Like every time I do a radio show here in Philadelphia, all they want me to do is tell them the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. Like they ask, every question they ask is, who's the best? Like I got one today. Who's the best team in the NFL on paper? And so I said to the guy again, I said, do you want me to tell you the Eagles are the best team? I'll do that if it makes you happy. Like seriously, if you want me to do that, I'll do it. Like I'm not a fanboy. Like, I don't sit there at home and say, oh, my team's great. You know, just tell me we're going to win. Like, every time I do an interview, who's the best team on paper? The Eagles get to the Super Bowl? When you tell them that their numbers aren't anywhere near where they were last year, even though they're 3-0, they're like, well, we're still 3-0. I get that. You know, but, you know, there's some other good teams, too, in the league. Like, it's hard to get there. They just don't give it to you. They just don't say, okay, you're going to the finals. Please enjoy.
Well, as it pertains to rounding out this segment, I'm glad you're not a fanboy. Your GM perspective came in the clutch here talking about these teams as the Milwaukee Bucks land Damian Lillard. We're seeing that number continue to move, by the way. That graphic we had on the screen that said plus 475, already stale. It's down to 4-1 and continues to climb. That is our news. We'll return to some NFL talk on the other side here, but huge in the NBA, Damian Lillard to the Bucks. Sorry, Miami.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're back with another week of the NFL, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in all of the football action with great offers every single game day. New customers can get $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Just throw five down on any of this week's matchups and walk away an instant winner. Football is more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up using the code VEGAS. Again, new customers bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL with with the code Vegas. The crown is yours. We continue to see this Milwaukee Bucks number on the move to win an NBA title, Michael. The breaking news of the day in the last 15 minutes or so, Damian Lillard will be joining the Milwaukee Bucks in a three-team trade with the Portland Trail Blazers and Phoenix Suns. And we will get more insight on this on VSiN.com, as well as Sharp Money, the show that's coming up here afterwards. If you missed any of our initial breakdown, make sure you download the Lombardi Line in podcast form. Michael gave some great GM perspective on that. But I guess we can just round out one final thought, Michael, as it pertains to this NBA incredible news today. Are you surprised at all with how much we are already seeing people immediately bet Milwaukee with him linking up with Giannis? Seems like a no-brainer in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think a lot of this is the NBA is we can't lose our, we have to make our star happy. We have to make sure that we do that. You know, we got to get the player to make the other player feel like we're going all in. This is why I mentioned to you about potentially where Embiid by Christmas could say, I want out, because you have it, you know, you're not giving me a chance to win. This whole dream team, which started down in Miami with LeBron, has been spreading through the NFL, NBA for years. And so because of that, you know, when you don't deliver a player to your star player, he says, I'm leaving. I'll go to somewhere else. We saw it in, you know, we saw it in Brooklyn with Kevin Durant. You know, once they started getting rid of the guys, they thought Kyrie and Harden, okay, I'm out. I want out too. So I think this is the way the league is. And it's so funny how it is, because the NBA, NFL players think they can control it like the NBA players can, and they can't.
You mentioned that dream team in Miami. You feel bad for Miami right now, considering how large a favorite they were to land Dame in this spot. Minus 300, an odds-on number for them to ultimately get Damian Lillard, bringing him to Miami. Instead, it's the Bucks, who, if you did take a long shot on them, 30-1, 10th on the odds board to ultimately land Dame. The full trade involves the Blazers receiving Drew Holiday, DeAndre Ayton, Tamani Kamara, and the Bucks 2029 first round Bucks pick and pick swaps in 2028 and 2030. And the Suns get Yusuf Nurkic, Nasir Little, Keon Johnson, and Grayson Allen. So that's the full thoughts. Again, we'll have more on VSiN.com as well as Sharp Money coming up after this program. Let's get to our pro tip of the day here, Michael, real quickly, as we do every day here on the show. Pro tips available also at VSiN.com. But we did a full segment earlier in the show called Are the Trends Your Friends? Looking at some big ATS trends in the NFL slate this week. And through that conversation, I think it's just really good to remind people that for as helpful as trends can be, it's not the end all be all reason why you should actually go out there and bet a game, but it oftentimes can be a helpful indicator on games to eliminate from your board of options.
No question. And remember this, games are really important to eliminate, because when we're betting, right, we're taking risk. And so what is taking a risk? So risk is you've got to be able to quantify what the risk you're willing to take. You've got to be able to understand the risk and then assume the risk, right? You want to have risk. You don't want to have risk aversion, because in the betting market, you're always going to have some risk. The ball's not round. It bounces funny. You could be on the right side but lose money. So you want to limit your risk as much as possible, but you can't go into risk control where you don't take any risk or you'll never make any money. However, that being said, you've got to minimize it. So since risk is involved, the only way to deal with risk is through elimination. You eliminate things you don't know. For example, Buffalo-Miami, you know, Buffalo opens up 3-point favorite. Looks fishy, right? Looks fishy. You run the numbers through the week. Oh, my God, the numbers are similar. Your instincts tell you you should play Miami. Miami's played them very close in two of the three games, won one of them, had to play Skylar Thompson in the other one, but had a chance to win that game, too. Mm-hmm. That score's not indicative. You know, so everything tells you to do that. But maybe you should just say, okay, my instincts say I should do this, but maybe I should just back away. Like, the opposite of a good idea is another good idea. And so when you have an idea about something, you might have another idea that's better. And so if when you're that way in terms of this is how I break the gown, you know, then maybe I should step away. Yeah. And what we do all the time, and I do this too, Stormy, I don't know about you, but I do this. I assume some things that aren't correct. And that's where I get in trouble. When I look at my losses, last week I had Denver. I assumed Denver was going to be able to control the ball and keep it away from them because of their run game. Because Sean Payton had run the ball, understands how to run the ball in a seven-man front. The game got away from him. That assumption was completely wrong. So when you assume on something that you're trying to take a risk on, you're going to get caught.
Great perspective. Again, VSiN Pro Tips, free daily betting tips at VSiN.com, searchable by sport and by show. So if you want tips specifically from Michael, search the Lombardi line in that spot. Last couple minutes here, Michael. Let's talk about Circa Survivor and some of the options that might be available for people who are still alive. Not yours truly. Last week, the Jags knocked me out and over 2,400 other people. So I was not alone in my demise this past week. It was complete carnage. The Jags, Ravens, and Cowboys were the biggest losers. Total of 3,445 people eliminated last week. So the overall pool is down from over 9,000 to around 2,470. The implied value per entry now, $3,738. Our biggest spreads this week, Michael. The 49ers are a 14-point favorite against the Cardinals, and I know that is a game that's certainly going to draw a lot of people's attention. We also see the Chiefs, a huge favorite at the Jets this week, rightfully so, given all the Jets conversation that we have had. The Eagles against the Commanders and the Cowboys against the Patriots. These seem to be the biggest numbers on the board where things sit right now. If you were advising people on where the best option might be to look this week, what would you suggest?
I would look at San Francisco. I would not go Philly, Washington. Washington won there last year. And, their defense played as well as they could play last year. They forced four turnovers against Philadelphia. And they have confidence that they could play Philly. So do I think Philly wins? Yes, but I would stay away.
Okay.
I think I would look at Minnesota. I know that sounds crazy. But I think Minnesota's a better bet to beat Carolina.
Really?
I mean, Carolina goes.
You're going with the battle of the 0-3 teams.
Yeah, but Minnesota has turned the ball over. There's a reason why Minnesota's 0-3. There's 1,000 reasons why Carolina's 0-3. Minnesota turned the ball over six times in the red zone. They've had seven fumbles. I mean, they turned the ball over. If they stop that, they'll be good. Carolina, they're going to put the young quarterback back in against Brian Flores, the defense coordinator, who's going to come after him a little bit. They've shown no ability to make explosive plays. And defensively, their secondary is all beat up. They can't cover anybody back there. And their front, Minnesota, will be able to move the football on them. So I think if Carolina plays great, Carolina holds Minnesota to 24 points. Do you think Carolina can score 23, 25? I don't.
I'm not so sure either, but I don't know if I want to put my survivor fate in the hands of an 0-3 Vikings team that can't be trusted either.
You're going to have to do something, Stormy. You're going to have to take some chances somewhere.
I think
you could play San Francisco.
Well, Michael, the reason I didn't use San Francisco last week was because I wanted to use them this week.
Okay. And that's the lesson of Survivor. What you just said right there is the lesson of Survivor. All these people that have planned out their season, Femi had it all planned out. He was going to use last week. He was going to use Cleveland. You know what the problem was? He wasn't in anymore. So, don't confuse hope for a plan. Early in the year, I've said this for as many years as we've talked about Survivor. Use your best bets. Now, I get you got to save Dallas because of that week 17, and that becomes a problem. But play your strengths. Play something that you know, because you're going to get into uncharted territory. At some point, you're going to have to take Minnesota. Does it make you, if Minnesota was 1-2, would you feel better?
Slightly, but Michael, I mean, I used the Vikings on a week one ticket anyways, and they were a loser. So they're just a team that in my mind cannot be trusted at this point. I get that you have to take some chances, but I feel like to your point, I did that last week to an extent, not going with the two gut picks I had in Kansas City and San Francisco because I wanted to save them and utilize them for another week. It is such a tough balance. Okay, that's going to do it for us today. For more on the Damian Lillard
Thanks,
situation,
Stormy.
For anyone who missed it, He is now with the Milwaukee Bucks. Sharp Money will have you covered on all those details in a moment. See you later, Michael. Back here tomorrow.